start the meeting. So, our call to order and our roll call. Howard Chung, I understand Howard is coming, but I don't think he's not here yet. Bridget Davila?
Here?
Oh, present.
Okay. Kate Vivetti, present. Christine Cardenas?
Here.
Okay. Rebecca Lee, I think she's coming, but she hasn't yet arrived. Robert Mulbar?
Here.
Maria Bakar?
Here.
Lisa will not be coming back to the United States until tomorrow. So, John Winston. And we wish her well. She's had a wonderful time. She's going to want to come back. And John Winston?
Here.
Okay. So, first of all, we have the approval of the minutes. And I have just, did anybody have any changes to the minutes? I had a couple of small changes, and not that they were on page 12, and it just had to do with my comments, and it had to do, I have given them to staff, but just for an order in the interest of transparency. It had to do with, I think it reminds me that I need to speak slower. So if I'm speaking too fast, please let me know. It is just a matter of indicating that we appreciated and adding the word including my request. And also that at the very bottom, I think it's, I don't like the reference to a FIST, F-I-S-T, rather than visit. So right here, it says,
okay.
I don't like the reference, there's a, I think the zero, I call it a zero. This is the, instead it's a fist, I'd rather have it zero, something numeric anyway. So that's just a small change. But otherwise, do we have a motion to approve the minutes?
Could there be correction?
Right.
Can we?
Oh, certainly.
Am I going to call for that?
Oh, okay, well, we'll call for the public. Is there any public corrections? I was going to call for public comment after we made the motion, but you know, this is even faster.
Okay.
It's a much smoother, streamlined process.
I don't look at what I say, of course. I don't know anybody else's, but I just wanted to
just identify yourself.
Amanda Mueller, and looking at page 4, and I compared City College enrollment to the City of Hercules. And there's a statement here, I can't imagine that I would make it. It says students don't bike or walk to school. I don't believe that, and I don't think I'd ever say it. I looked up a bunch of research I've had over the years, and no, it's about a 10% walking and biking stat data over the years. So if you could just strike that student, that I don't believe I would ever say they don't bike or walk to school.
When you said not all students.
No, I didn't say anything like that.
Can
okay.
You
so,
just point out this?
It's under Madeline Mueller,
yeah.
Page 7, page 4. And it's the, I'm sorry, first one down.
Yep.
Just strike out our students don't bike or walk to school, because that's
yep.
That's not true.
Okay.
And then one other little thing, and it was my mistake, same sort of silly thing, where I was talking about cities on page 24, and I brought up Hercules again, and I said CCSF is also the size of Modesto. I did not mean that. I meant Millbrae.
You meant Millbrae.
Okay.
So the minutes were actually accurate on that one, but you maybe misspoke. But we'll change it.
Hi, just about public comment, a point of order. If you are going, I notice you have public comment at the end. There's nothing in the agenda for each item, and I don't think the one I saw online. So my only point of order, and I don't know if the CAC is obligated to do this, but I know that you are aware about transparency, and I think that if anything is going to be discussed as to the agenda tonight and you're further discussing, that the public should have an opportunity to comment on the discussion, because when you're discussing, you may change something, and I would assume that you would welcome and embrace public comment.
That has
you.
Been the standard process for all of our meetings, so.
Well, it wasn't.
Yeah.
Like,
it's in the agenda.
Because it wasn't on the one I saw, so, but I'm so happy.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay.
That's great.
And you're talking about there's public comment on items not on the agenda, and there's public comment on
right.
each agenda.
But thank you. That's good.
Hey, Kate.
Ray Coots here, and I just noticed on page 6, it says Ellen Wall, Westwood Park. She's not in Westwood Park, so I don't believe she would have made all those statements. So I don't know who, it may just be the wrong name.
Speaker 12? Ellen Wall, you're saying?
She's Sunnyside.
She's in Sunnyside, not Westwood Park, and I wasn't here at the meeting to know. She said those things?
Yes.
Okay, very good. It's Sunnyside.
Okay, but she's Sunnyside, not Westwood Park.
Yeah, she's Sunnyside.
Do we have any other public comment on the minutes? Okay, so we're going to have another opportunity for public comment, and that will be after we have a motion in a second. So do we have the motion on the minutes? Okay, John Wilson is moving, we have with the amendments. And Robert Neubronker is seconding, and is there any public comment on the motion and the second? Okay, so all those in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? And there's those on, and we have Rebecca Lee. Yes, right. Okay, our agenda, the agenda tonight is we will be going over sustainability parameters, additional public benefit parameters, and Howard turns off. Just for the note that and then we also have public realm parameters that we'll be discussing, and we'll be taking a call for consensus. And just as a reminder, this is a discussion item, it is not an action item, so it is not a final decision on what will be and contained in each one of these parameters. Ground rules, do we need to go over the ground rules, or do we need to mention everybody's been here for several times? Is there any desire to go over the ground rules? Okay, great. Okay, for the context of this evening's discussion, tonight, as I said, we'll be going over sustainability parameters, additional public benefit, and public realm parameters. And then we will also, just as a matter of looking forward, next meeting will be the first draft of all parameters together for discussion. And that will be the first time that we look at, but last year we separated each one of the parameters so that we could focus at each meeting on just specific parameters. And now what we're going to be doing for the next meeting is that all the parameters will be put together as a package for the initial discussions on the total package that would be eventually going for RFP. And then the RFP and designer, selecting the developer is proposed for within the probably the latter part of the year, fall or winter of 2016. So then after that, in 2017, we get into the draft design and development proposal and environmental review. And I think it's important to note that at every step of this process, that there is going to be a public input. And I'm not quite sure how it's going to be designed once the RFP is processed and developer proposals come in. But I don't know if staff wants to address that at all.
Hi, Emily Lesk with the Office of Economic and Workforce Development. So the CAC, as created by the Board of Supervisors, exists up until the final development approval. So that's all the way to the right on that timeline. So the CAC will continue to exist and be a public forum. And then we also anticipate kind of deep dives into design and whether the formal CAC forum or some other kind of workshop format makes the most sense for that, I think, is TBD.
Okay. Are there any questions from the board? Is there any discussion on the process for all this? Okay. We're anticipating that the normal meeting would be August 8th. There has been comment that there might be vacation scheduled, so if there's any committee member that hasn't yet given the city staff their vacation schedule, could you please make sure you email it if there's going to be an intermediary. Is setting off. And then the other is whether or not we will have to, there's a desire to have special meetings in the event we cannot reach a quorum on the 8th of August due to vacations or whatever. And we'll be able to determine that very soon. Or even if at the 8th, the meeting of the 8th, we decide that there may be more discussion on some of the overall parameters, then we can also determine whether we need to have a special meeting then. So that, in a sense, is what we are, is there any questions, any public comment on that? Questions from the board, from the committee?
People keep an eye on the website in case we schedule that. We want to make sure people know if we change the schedule.
Okay, and you should keep an eye on the website in the event that there is any scheduling changes. So, what you can also do, I would imagine, you're automatically notified if you are signed up for a notification. So if you haven't gotten signed up for a notification, please do so, and that will automatically be going to you as if in the event the meeting change, meeting schedule changes. Okay, so let's go first of all into sustainability parameters. Does the staff want to address anything on the sustainability parameters?
Yeah, we thought we could just do a quick,
yeah,
quick run through. Hi, Jeremy Shaw with Planning, and just wanted to refresh everybody. We've discussed this a little bit before, but just to, it's been a while. But just to remind, okay, so just to recap where, what we've done, what we've reviewed and written with respect to sustainability. We first came with the parameters. You can see the latest draft in the back if you need. The first draft was in December. We heard public comment, rewrote the draft based on that public comment in January and presented it again in February. But because we've had a number of other topics since then, we haven't come to a conclusion on the consensus conversation. But we have discussed, we have discussed a number of the changes. Actually, I think sustainability was, most of the things were welcome. There were a lot of comments about specific technologies, electric vehicles, different types of renewable energy. And so we tightened up the language based on that input. Here are some examples of what we did. Principle one, added ideas like shared facilities, added different ways that the developer could achieve a sort of innovation credit. And again, some language, made sure that parks when referred to were described as public or accessible, and a lot of language about the specific sort of microclimate of the neighborhood. That, in a nutshell, the changes were pretty well received, or the original document was pretty well received, and the changes were kind of summarized there. So happy to answer questions on that, but just to keep that brief. And again, for those who haven't been to a meeting before, you can see the blue, you can see the changes in red and blue. And some documents have both colors. Those are different drafts. So the first one would be red, the second one would be blue, or vice versa, or something like that. So you can see all the changes in the prints.
So our item number C on this, do we have any questions? Actually, item number B. Do we have any questions from the CNCs? Is there anybody here who has any questions on the committee? Please, I don't have any issues either. So we end up with what we are now going to item number C, which is public comment on sustainability. Although it says sustainability and additional public benefits parameters, I think we just mean the sustainability parameters.
Yeah.
Okay, so if there's any public comment on the sustainability parameters, please come forward. State your name and neighborhood. Where are you from?
I'm Jennifer Heggie, and I'm from Sunnyside. We had a couple of questions and a couple of comments. So on principle 2C, I know that this was mentioned before, but it would be helpful to have you remind us what district scale refers to, because that's brought up in a couple of places, both 2C and later on. In principle three, that's principle three, C, D, and E. We're very pleased to see stormwater management parameters C and D and the addition of parameter E. I'm speaking on behalf of the Sunnyside Balboa Park subcommittee. And then for principle 4D, regarding the San Francisco reduced risk pesticide list, we want to call out protection for pollinators, as we have Sunnyside neighbors who raise bees for their honey. For principle 4E, I want to ask, what effect may non-potable water reuse or drought-tolerant living facades have on building facades and the deterioration of materials? Can we assume proper maintenance? Our neighborhood has concerns about these issues based on our negative experience watching the rapid deterioration of the Orfalia, I don't know how to pronounce that, child care center, which incorporates living roofs.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hello, Monica Collins, Sunnyside. I live on Hearst. I work at City College. So, Principle 5, overview paragraph, as we've amended. We would like to alter the first sentence with the following language: support a healthy environment by reducing indoor and outdoor air quality impacts, such as toxins in the building material, smoking. I put that one in there, smoking. A lot of people congregate outdoors and smoke like crazy because they're discouraged from smoking indoors. Combustible materials, cruising for parking, and vehicle idling. We are very pleased mold preventative strategies are incorporated. Thank you.
Is there any other public comment on the sustainability parameters?
Looks like there's one more. This is Ray Kutz with Sunnyside. In principle 5D, append the sentence ending with adequate energy loads with the following to include, including an electrical outlet at every garage parking space. And then for principle 6D, we would like to ensure a backup is provided for the pneumatic vacuum waste system in case it should break down.
Practical suggestions. Any other public comment on them? Stephanie, did you want to comment at all on this?
Would you like me to respond to some of the questions?
Yeah, that would be good.
District scale is a really good question. I think in general, and we can clarify this in the language of the memo or the future RFP, the idea of district scale is to reap benefits, whether it's energy or otherwise, that you wouldn't get from building or servicing one building alone. So if there are shared resources or facilities between buildings or among multiple buildings, that is a district scale. If there's shared energy, shared water, any kind of system like that is generally district scale. You might see it in some of our other principles too. I have to go back. We might have actually put words on a page in the urban design section. I can't remember, but in general, that's what we mean by district scale. And I think everything. Was there anything else non-technical? I'm sorry. Everything I'm looking on. I know this word. Technical base, and I'm not really the expert on every subject here. Is there any other clarification that was not about a technology?
Is there any?
I
don't think
that
so.
You guys have. Okay. So, with res.
Jennifer?
Actually, we did talk about the
roof. Why don't you get to the microphone so we just have a record? This was just regarding the green roofs that we talked about, and we're talking about living roofs, that there's some issues in our, there have been in our neighborhood historically. So we also understand that some legislation was passed for better roofs and that that becomes effective in January. So I don't know if that will be covered. I assume that will be covered here.
Yeah, so any new policy will apply, and the parameters here, particularly in Principle 1C, basically everything was written by the woman who was writing that legislation or has been like very involved with that, so everything is consistent is at the end of the day. But I'm happy to, we're happy to talk more about it. I think with respect to some of the technologies, I think we would have to speak with our sustainability staff. I think in general we were trying to set aspirations and create room for potential credits without determining each technology or putting a requirement on everything. So that might be why some things are, not everything under the sun is mentioned, but we do recognize that there are certain things at a district scale or otherwise that we can encourage the developer to do, and that's why we've included some. So I think though we can certainly add some of the things that were just mentioned. I would have to check with our sustainability energy staff about, for example, the outlets at every parking site. I mean, I don't know off the top of my head what kind of expense that would be, but we'd certainly look into making those additions, the technical additions.
Any questions from the CAC? Any comments as a result of public comment? Do you have any more discussion? Rebecca? Okay, so are we ready to do a call for consensus? Again, this is a discussion item and not an action item. So, why don't I'll go ahead and call for your...
Doing 1 through 5 again?
Yeah, 1 through 5, 0 through 5. Okay, so
parameters as a whole?
No, just the sustainability. Just the sustainability.
Okay.
And reminder, just a reminder, we'll be tonight we're just talking about sustainability, additional public benefits, and public realm. Next time we'll be talking about the parameters as a whole. Okay, so Bridget, do you want to start? Okay.
Okay, I just had a few items, and I also checked in with one of our other trustees who works with the Sierra Club to have him take a look at the sustainability parameters also. So some of the questions that I had were about wind generation, and I might have missed it, but I didn't see it in there, and if the site is suitable for that purpose to include that, since that is one particularly windy hill. And the second point is that I want it made clear on here that Ocean Campus is already a park. I think that's under Principle 4. The Ocean Campus is already a park. We're an open campus, and I'm sure many of the residents of Sunnyside and Westwood walk your dog or take a walk around here, and it's available. Well, it's available for everyone to do. And so it should be coordinated with City College. Some of the comments that one of my other trustees had was regarding the fact that it should be okay to have solar on the roof instead of landscaping. So if there's a trade-off and you're trying to adjust that, you can go all solar. And that the document doesn't clearly state that the developer is not allowed count rooftop landscaping as open space, and I think we should do that. So we should count.
We'll address that in the public.
Okay. So there's, if you notice, there's been a discussion about having different types of landscaping on the roof, and there's green roofs like the Academy of Science. That should not count as open space. Okay, that's it.
Oh, so that you're saying that that should not count as open space?
That should not count as open space.
And yet a rooftop should be counted as open space?
What I'm saying is that if we have a green roof, and by green, the way I understand it, I'm using the Academy of Science as an example, where it's a sustainable roof that helps the building in terms of temperature and insulation,
but it's not really a place where you can walk out on and hang out or whatever, so it shouldn't be included as open space.
Right, okay, yeah.
And just further, we will get into that point in a little more detail when we discuss public realm later today. There was language based on maybe yours, but also some public comment about defining what open space in that section.
Do we have any other comments on sustainability?
Just hold my comments until we get them done.
Okay, so why don't we go ahead and do we have, so is there anybody else? Okay, so let's go ahead with our thumbs. How many fingers, excuse me? It's the
It's embarrassing.
Oh, am I first?
Yes, you're first.
Okay.
Four. Well, I'm going to give it four, but I have concerns about living rooms too. It seems like when I see them, 50% of them look ratty. So I hate to have that as an enduring, quote unquote, asset in our community.
Four.
Four. I'll be doing a three. I do have some concerns about the sustainable roofs and the green roofs.
Three.
Four. As a gardener, I understand plants are very high maintenance. They don't tend to think of them that way, but they do need a lot of maintenance.
I'm going to go with four as well. Did everybody hear that? Four.
Okay, so we can move on. This would be for additional public comments. So staff?
Kind of the history and changes to additional public benefits in the same way Jeremy did. So as you may recall, we posted the first draft of these parameters online in December. They were presented and discussed at the January CAC meeting where we received verbal feedback and then we received additional written email feedback, which were incorporated into a revised draft that was posted online as well as written responses to all the feedback.
You need to move your cursor, so it's,
So again, you know, as with the other parameters, we have the memo that explains, it summarizes the revisions and it provides a red line, and then also online is the written matrix where we've gone comment by comment and explained our response or answered the question. So to go through all of the changes that have been made in response to that feedback, the first was to add a parameter 1C that the developer needs to design child care facilities to minimize noise impacts on surrounding residential uses. 1D was revised to make it clear that any City College child care facility that may be located on this site that would be fully based on City College's interest and discretion. It would be totally optional to them, but we would want to leave the door open and encourage the developer to work with City College if City College was interested. We added parameter 1E, which says to identify additional opportunities for the project to serve youth of all ages, such as by including space for after-school programs. So this was taking the parameter that was really focused on child care and early childhood education and including youth of all ages in the facilities that may be created. For principle two, the definition kind of the overall principle, we added some language to stress that ground floor uses need to create a vibrant public realm and also avoid vacancies, which would detract from that. Within the parameters themselves, 2A, we added potential ground floor, good activating ground floor uses. We added housing with active entrances as a potential activating ground floor use that would be acceptable. And in one, or excuse me, in 2B, we made it clear that it was the developer's responsibility to prove that any ground floor retail or, any ground floor retail was in demand and wouldn't negatively impact, compete with existing local businesses. And then finally, we added parameter 3C, which is a list of many other community uses that were recommended by community members through public comment.
Okay. Is there, are there any questions or from community here? Or, is there any public comment on the additional public benefits?
North Pride, Westwood Park, from being in small business a lot here in San Francisco, it just seems like any business should be on the feeling and that internally in the neighborhood, it probably wouldn't be a viable place for retail. And then the other thing, I've heard other people say this, it's not addressed in here, but one of the biggest public benefits is the City College parking for the commuter school. And that should be a retained public benefit. It's not an additional, but it should be a retained existing benefit.
City College. On the principle 1B, C, where we're talking about minimize the noise impact, we could add on surrounding residential and educational uses because we have Durbin and College. We're overlaying and we have to have a bit of quiet to concentrate on our studies. And when in the E section where it says including space for after school programs, again, coordinating with the college spaces, we do have, and I assume we Lake and River might come up with something, so there's not redundancies and duplication of things. We take advantage of this educational circle around, not quite a circle, a C, around this property. And under that same sort of logic, on the parameter 3A, demonstrate an understanding of local social, arts, cultural, educational, and other priorities. Just keep that in. We are an educational hub in this part of town. This is a required hub, a legal hub. And I think any time in any of these parameters we acknowledge that, it makes it a stronger document.
For principle 1B, we request you strike everything after the first sentence ending in in-home child care. The additional sentences are maybe too limiting for the functions of the space, and there's already an intention to provide child care in the other parameters. For principle 3, the overview, it reads parameter number 3, although it's meant as a principle. And then principle 3C, under additional amenities, we wanted to talk about changing the priorities to, in the following order, a large multi-use community meeting space, a meeting space for local nonprofit organizations and neighborhood groups, a senior center, support for City College's efforts to construct the Performing Arts and Education Center on the adjacent City College-owned property, amenities for college-age adults in addition to youth, ground floor makerspace, view platforms, and a public pool. There was something else about water, and we're concerned California is projected to be subjected to increasingly frequent drought conditions, so providing water facilities for recreation and artwork should be the lowest priority. Thank you.
Hello, Corey Smith with the San Francisco Housing Action Coalition. On behalf of 300 members, I wanted to piggyback off of what we just said there. prioritizing ideas is something that's really, really common amongst a lot of CACs. I'm not sure if any of you know that, but when you kind of lay that stuff out there, it helps helps the developer figure out basically what is going to be best serving the groups there. So some sort of prioritization here can be very, very useful.
Any other public comment? Hearing none. Is there any discussion as far as the CAC?
You know, all the way through this process, we've been talking about the transportation and parking in this area here and how we're creating a neighborhood is going to have impacts. It's going to have impacts beyond the project site itself. It's going to have impacts into the surrounding streets. And I think that we need to try to strive to get the developer to provide some enhancements to get people to the public transit stations for better connectivity for pedestrians to use the public right-of-way outside of the project area itself. And I'm not going to be prescriptive in terms of what that would look like. I drafted a memo and I began to express that. I don't see that in here at all. And if it was perfect world for me, I would add an additional parameter around that notion of having some better connectivity to public transit as well as pedestrian amenities outside of the project area.
Would that not go into the transportation?
This is, as I understand it, this is a public benefit that the developer, for the purpose of developing this project, is going to give back to the community. Mm-hmm. And the child care aspects are fabulous. I think we need that. I'm not dissuading anybody from that. But once you get out of the project area, what are we going to do to try to encourage everybody to use public transit? And it is something that I think that the developer should be providing in the public benefits for this project.
So, Mike Martin, Office of Economic Workforce Development. So, additional public benefits isn't a different category of things from the other more targeted items. So, it's not like these public benefits are different in kind. So, by listing them in the transportation parameters, I think we're making the same statement. This was just all of those things that didn't fall under the big umbrellas of transportation, public realm, urban design, etc. So, your point's understood. And we'll try to think of a better way to message that as something that's additive for the community. But I think in terms of organization-wise, I think that does belong in the transportation piece.
Bridget?
Yes, I wanted to add something here. And that is regarding parameter 3A. Demonstrate an understanding of local social, arts, cultural, and other priorities by proposing programming and amenities that will appeal to the broader community and City College affiliates. I'd like to expand that and include to integrate the contributions of City College students wherever possible. So if there's hallways with art in it, well, we got a great art department. If our construction students can be included in the construction of it, well, we have a great program there too. We have so many great programs, and it's going to be a reflection of what City College can do. So I'd like to include that as part of it also.
Quite frankly, piggybacking on that, it's also there are a number of community organizations within the Ocean Avenue area that are doing the same, and so it means that this outreach should be also included, incorporated, so that there's a seamless benefit for all, both City College and the students there, but as well as other artists and performing artists that are within the community.
Yeah.
And that would be coordinating providing a benefit both for City College and the community. I'm thinking of the OAA, the OMICPP, and a number of other organizations. Mm-hmm. So that would just add to the vibrancy of our community, and that would be really a tremendous benefit.
I had a question also. One thing that I don't understand, okay, I do understand that in my district, District 11,
public space is at a premium. It's very hard to find places to meet. I'm assuming that's the same for District 7.
It is absolutely the same. And in fact, you know, even with the public library having its community space, you know, there's so many programs going on at the community, at the public library, that the community space is now overused. And there's just not enough time. We can't, community has a difficult time accessing it. And I believe that there, at the OAA level, there was a desire to have some kind of community space, maybe however you speak to it, with regard to this new development.
Okay, so I guess my question is, I don't want to see redundancies either, and I don't know if the pool is redundant since there's a pool down there that's also open to the public. I'm not a swimmer, so I don't know how open it is, and I'm sure you all tell me if it's not. But to the extent that we can coordinate with that too, I think it's a great idea to have that space. But I also think that maybe City College can be working with you on that as well.
City College has a difficult time having its own space. That's what we're finding in the community. So,
okay.
Yeah. So additional community space is always welcome.
Right.
Yes.
This is a response to the public comments about prioritization of the additional amenities. I think we understand that when you can specify priorities, always helpful, but I don't think we've talked specifically about how to do that here, and I didn't hear what type of amenities that folks thought was should be higher or lower, other than that, you know, during the time of drought, maybe pools should be lower, maybe other, you know, we have aquatic swimmers might disagree, but I think that the specific uses of these space will obviously have to be proposed later on and probably go through a process as well. So I'm just wondering if that's something that we have to iron out right now, like, on the prioritization piece.
So we certainly can revise these to articulate priorities more sequentially, but there will be more opportunities to talk about prioritization and trade-offs. So it is very typical once there is a developer who's actually weighing the costs, you know, they can kind of quantify the costs and benefits of different amenities. It's very typical for them to kind of lead a conversation and seek feedback there. So certainly can provide direction today, but it's certainly not the only chance.
I just had the microphone handed to me, but I wasn't saying anything. But I guess I will say that microphone became the talk. So the one thing I wanted to say was that the ground floor uses, it's very important, I think, to make sure that, I think this is really well said, and that we want to contribute towards a good sense of the commons in the streetscape of the area. And when we talk about open space and parkland, also can include the actual streetscape as part of that public space. And if we can figure out a way to populate the streetscape and have more people there and more community within the street, that could also be considered part of the commons and part of the overall neighborhood and what we call here a vibrant community.
I have just one quick comment, because I was looking at the child care principle one with like minimizing noise impact, and as an educator, just having open space, outdoor space for children is so important, so making sure that's, I don't know how you minimize noise impact with this age group, but I think it's important to make sure that you do have open space for students and young kids to be at.
Right, I think we'll be dealing with that in the public realm. One of the things, and I don't think it's an additional public benefit, but it's important for this community to be seamless with the City College community as well as the Ocean Avenue community, the overall community in the broader community, so that, and I don't think that there's an addition there, it'd probably be more in urban design. But, okay, so any more comments from the CAC? Okay. Are we ready to... Well, we can do some additional public comment. Was there any additional public comment based on the discussion? one person coming up already.
That's all right.
We'll get you next.
No, it's fine.
He already put his hand up. So.
No, I don't care.
Has public comment already?
Yeah, there was always public comment. You're welcome
okay,
to come.
I just walked in. Hi, I'm Alvin. What I'd like the CAC members to do is expand your horizon. Parameters is all about setting boundaries. The parameters are supposed to be set, you know, for the developers in terms of the RFP, but in reality, my feeling is that the city team has set parameters in terms of what the public and this CAC can deal with. And
is this going to, we're right now talking about additional public benefits. Is this going to be, are your comments about the general process?
I'm going to be talking about public benefits. Is that correct?
Right.
Is that what you're on?
Right.
Okay. So public benefits, in terms of additional public benefits, doesn't look at the entire context. What we have right now is student parking. That student parking is an existing public benefit. So what we have in terms of the parameters set up by the city team is they're taking away a big public benefit that benefits students, the entire community in terms of student access to education. And you know, in taking that away, they're throwing us some crumbs. And those crumbs are like the child care center, retail space, you know, stuff like that. Basically, the example I've used and that I've sent to you guys is this. Okay, I'm walking down to Balboa BART. I get mugged, okay? They take my wallet, take all my money, take all my credit cards, and then, in their generosity, they throw back my driver's license and my City College ID card in exchange. Okay, so and that's, I think that's comparable to what the city has done. Okay, that's it. Thank you.
Oh, okay. There's going to be another opportunity for general public comment at the end of the meeting.
Hi, I just want a clarification.
This is
a Harris, Westwood Park. You mentioned about having, are you saying that the sidewalks, let's say a cafe with benches and tables, that would be a part of the open space, that the developer would include the sidewalk? Ocean Avenue would be a part of the open space. Is that what you're saying?
No.
No, good. That's good. So what were you saying? I didn't understand. You said the sidewalk should be, the streets should be utilized for part. You said open space. So I'm not understanding.
No, was that what I said to
you? I'm sorry.
Yeah.
So
I was just
saying.
John here.
If it, what is it? Like, is it the sidewalk? Is it the crosswalk? Is it the
trees? Let me clarify. I don't mean to include it in
house.
The public space, but just to say
oh,
that
okay.
It's part of the commons.
Not
that we would like to have, I would like to see streets that, a streetscape that actually is a living streetscape
yes.
That's more of a community. And it's not part of the open space at all.
Oh, good.
Of,
so
if you
said
the
3 acres, let's say,
no,
you're
no.
Not going to say 1 acre of the sidewalk.
Not at all, no.
Okay, fine. And that was one. And the I agree with Alvin that parking is currently a public benefit and should not be taken away because we have a lot of problems for many years with parking and traffic. So to take away that amenity, it's taking an amenity away and has nothing to do with the parking as far as I'm concerned. Thank you. And thanks for the clarification. Appreciate it.
Okay. So, any other public comment on, okay, any other member of the CAC wishes to comment or any discussion? Okay, so let us go this time, start with John. And we'll be doing our consensus, call for consensus. Unless you have further questions, if nobody has further questions, we'll just go for a call for consensus.
Four names.
Four?
Four.
Okay, so Rebecca said four.
Four.
Christy said four, three,
four,
four, three,
four.
Okay. We have, or he's scheduled a break. However, we do not have the transcriptionist. Is there a desire for a break, or do you want to go on?
Go on.
Let's go on. Okay, let's go. So we are on public realm parameters. So, staff?
Yes. Hi, Jeremy Shaw with planning, and wanted to recap the public realm. We go into a little more depth with this one because it has a lot more to it, and we've revisited it twice already. So you know, we have a little more time. But just a sort of a quick refresher. We're diving deep into each section, but as we just noticed, even like it's hard to separate each of these seven topics. When they're written, they have to balance a number of things. So with open space, we have to consider other potential uses, with transportation. There's always a trade-off. And so, in particular, when we look through our public comment, you can see a variety of public comments, not just from the CAC, but over the course of the last year and a half, as well as from the public, and in written comments. And so there's a great number of balancing acts we're doing, and some of that colors or shapes the language that we're looking at, particularly the public realm. And one of the trickiest balancing acts is how do we create open space, because we know it is one of the highest community priorities, with affordable housing, which is also highest community priority. And sometimes it's a trade-off that we have to make, and we have to consider the balance of things in that regard. And if, in general, a quick way to illustrate it might be, if we take up a lot more land to do open space, that might require higher heights for buildings, or that might take away from some other amenity that is of value to the community. So we just want to keep that context in mind, that the parameters in general, all seven topics, have strive for balance in accommodating the great number of comments we've received. The colors are pretty hard to see, I apologize, but just for folks who weren't here when this first came up last year, actually in the fall, we just wanted to give a little bit about the source of the numbers and what these open space numbers mean, or what the words mean. Just for reference, this is just to kind of contextualize. This is Schlage Block over in Visitation Valley. It has a lot of parallels to this development. In particular, it's around the same size. It's a little bigger at 20 acres. It went through a developer process similar to this, where it was designed and discussed with the community all at once instead of building by building. And again, just for reference, in the Schlage Block site, there are two main parks. One is this one right here, and one is this one right here. This other up towards the north is a desire, but is not part of the development program. And so in total, those parks are about 1.75 acres. And that's just a benchmark. As a point of comparison, the Balboa Reservoir that we're talking about is 17 acres, just a smidge smaller. And the parameters, as they're written, propose a minimum of 4 acres of open space. So that's more than double of what we see at Schlage. And the reason that was put in there originally was because at a lot of the earlier workshops and earlier CAC meetings, open space was really up there, top priority amongst just a few others. And so we doubled the open space requirement in the parameters as compared to Schlage. Can we switch? And so, just so we know what we're talking about, both of these parks in the neighborhood, Sunnyside Rec Center, and this playground area, this park area, the Minnie Rec Center, not the whole thing, those are about 1.5 acres. Okay, so again, remember the parameters as written, they include a minimum of 4 acres total, and one continuous significant open space that should strive to be 2 acres. Okay, the goal is to make it 2 acres. But there's a minimum of 1.5, so it wouldn't be any smaller than either of these. And so, again, just to sort of contextualize where this is coming from, in total, the parameters as written have 4 acres with the goal of 2. And there was a question in one of the past meetings about what does the planning code say? How does this compare to a normal building or a normal development around San Francisco? Typically, you don't get a park with the building. They pay impact fees, and most of the time, the impact fees wouldn't cover the size of a park that we're talking about, not even one of them. So in general, versus the normal scenario of a building, we're getting a lot more benefit for what might be built here on the reservoir. On top of this, and this is something I'd be happy to clarify with the CAC, in addition to the 4 acres, there is a per unit open space requirement, and that is similar to a planning code requirement. We increased in the planning code, these are the numbers, it says if that open space is publicly accessible, then for every unit you must build 54 square feet. If it's private, then you must build 80 square feet of open space, and after a certain number of units add up, it adds up to a significant amount of public space. And in the case of the reservoir, we increased the public requirement slightly more to 60 feet, you can see over here. So that, we don't know the total of that because we don't know the total number of units in the proposal yet. But you can imagine that that will be a significant addition on top of the 4 acres. So, and whether it's public or private, again, that's not determined yet. But we have a number of examples of both that can be very well designed. And in some cases, you might want a childcare or an area for children living in that building or buildings nearby. In that case, you could build something that's not completely publicly accessible but common to that building. We wanted to leave the developer some flexibility with how those open spaces get built and if they're public or private. But again, that's on top of the 4 acres. In addition, there are requirements no matter what. We're not allowed to build on SFPUC pipeline. We're not allowed to have trees or buildings or anything like that, but there will be open space, there are transition areas or what were once called buffers. There's a pipeline right here behind the Avalon buildings. There's also some provisions in the RFP for a transition area to the west between the development and the homes that are on Plymouth Avenue. And then this final point is more of a qualitative point, but a significant one that John was mentioning, that when we design streets, it doesn't count as the 4 acres, but it should read and feel as if it's part of the public realm and designed for people, so that when you're walking in the street, there is an element of comfort, and it feels like a neighborhood and someplace where you would want to walk, and it's part of what Robert's point was, is to encourage people to walk. So when we design streets, this is why we call it the public realm. We want those streets to be designed in coordination and in concert with parks and open space. So that's just a little bit of a summary of some of the presentations I've given before. Just a recap of, again, where the public realm different versions have come from. We first proposed the draft in October of last year. We have a pretty extensive comment response matrix on the website in response to all the public comment from that meeting and in writing. There was another draft in December, again, another discussion at this body in January, which resulted in the draft you see before you proposed in February. In addition, somewhere in there, in January or February, we did a little deeper dive with some of the Westwood Park board members at their request to explore some of the language and numbers in open space as well as in the urban design section. And that is what resulted in the draft number 3 presented before you today. This is just a graphic depiction of what we did. Same information, lots of paper. It's all on the website if you want. And here are some more of the specific provisions broken down by which draft. So in the second draft, there was a lot of good public comment, and it really tightened up the language. So we talked about how public spaces need to be activated, not specifically throughout the year and throughout different times of day. We put a lot of language in about neighborhood privacy. And in particular, as well, the open space need to be clarified that that's to remain that way in perpetuity. I think it's a helpful clarification. And again, this language, this theme of principle 1I, you see throughout many of the parameters. We hope it addresses the concerns that these open spaces should be planned and designed in coordination and complement the surrounding uses, in particular the city college and educational uses. And one other thing with respect to what Bridget was saying before, this 4 acres and these open space requirements were clarified to be at grade. So the word at grade was added in a few places in the principles. Again, privacy came up in a few places. This was principle 4. This was just what I was talking about, the per unit open space requirements. Again, it's beyond the 4 acre minimum. Similarly to the sustainability principles, we added some language about wind, just being resistant to wind and making sure that whatever vegetation we plant is designed for this neighborhood, and so that it doesn't succumb to the harsh some of the harsh elements of the microclimate. That was the first draft, or that was the second draft. In the third draft, we added, based on the recommendation of a public comment, to call the main public space, the main park or open space, significant and continuous. There was some language about allowing roads or a sort of a shared streets to go through that park. That was removed. Again, it's a goal of 2 acres. There was language added about the buffer transition area between the Belvoir Reservoir and Westwood Park to be a reasonable distance, again, to remain in perpetuity. There were a lot of comments about views. The law, or CEQA, environmental code, prohibits us from prioritizing private views, but we did add language about having views in our community design workshops, just as a tool to help us understand what the site will look like, what certain viewpoints will look like. And in addition, it is in the urban design code of the city that we prioritize views from public places or public streets, so that language was clarified in the principles. Language straight from public comment about protecting the construction impacts on nearby homes. I know there's been some trouble with prior developments in the area, so we wanted to make that clear. The word alley was struck from the document and other parameter sections. Sun exposure, which was brought up in a couple times, we wanted to make sure that it wasn't just about public spaces, but that there was sun exposure was addressed to neighboring buildings as well. And then some language about who's going to maintain these open spaces, and that was a welcome addition to the section. So there were a lot of little changes here and there, but I think it added up to make a significant difference and make it a much stronger and tighter document. I'm happy to answer any of the questions. And just while I'm here, Kate mentioned it before, but just if you want, all of these documents are online. It's a lot, but you're welcome to look at it. In particular, if you go to this top link, there's a button at the top of that page that says alerts. So that means anytime a new document is added just to that page, you will get pinged in your inbox. There's a couple ways to sign up. This is the easiest and most direct way to find out when new things are proposed. So just wanted to mention that before I forgot.
Okay, thank you, Jeremy. Okay, from CSE member, do you have any questions for Jeremy? Well, we have a question and a comment too. So, with the survey results, it's interesting because the large open space for multiple uses was 24%, and then number 4 was large open space was 6%, and then number 6 is small open space is 5%. When you add it all up, it's quite significant. You're right with regard to the community's desire for open space. One of the questions we had with regard to item, parameter number or principle number 1 is IF, and it has to do with transition. And in previous iterations, it was transition without between, but now we have transition between. Could you just go and expand what transition means? I think that there was some concern about
just
that.
Just repeat that. The last question,
how are you defining transition, or so there's a walking and words field serve as a buffer or transition.
Mm-hmm.
How is that?
There are a couple ways you could look at the word transition. I think there was a lot of comments on the urban design section as well as this one about making sure that the reservoir development was not walled off, that it integrates well with the design and neighborhoods and educational institutions around it. So that was one reason or one shade of the word transition that we wanted to acknowledge. As well, because it's in the public realm section and there were there is a landscape area that has been recommended or that is in the RFP between Plymouth and the development, there is the sense that should be usable and accessible not just to any one particular development or side of it, but both. And I think there might be concerns, and I think that was previously there was the word buffer was in there, and that's why it was changed, because there was the sense or sentiment to the word buffer that it meant wall, mm-hmm. and that was not the intent of the word buffer. And to the extent wherever we could acknowledge privacy concerns, light, access to light, and noise, we just became more specific about that in this and other sections, and to get at the idea of the word, the ideas of the word buffer that people were really striving for. So we hope that those two ways kind of clarify the language.
Anybody else have any questions? Does that answer? Okay, so why don't we go for public comment? Is there any member of the public who wishes to comment on the public realm parameters?
Comparison to, you pronounce it Schlage, and there really is no comparison. Yeah, there's acreage, but they're not next door to a 25,000 member college. I mean, it's just not a way to make comparisons. So that's why I'm always on this kick of just incorporating language that indicates it would be easy. We're talking about public good, and as somebody has said, what more public good than the public education? That we're under attack as institutions to be privatized so that the students will have to pay so much more and get into student debt and be indentured for life. So, you know, I have a real thing to save public institution. It's required to be here. Years ago, even before my time, the school was asked, we're expanding. We don't have space. Somebody mentioned there's a space problem here. We're the most impacted community college in the state. So space is a real key issue at this institution, always has been. We were asked, we're told, you know, find a place for more students, and the city said at that point, there's no other place in the city. Make do with what you have. So our acreage is here. And as I said, there's never been a reservoir. Never. Well, we're looking into something. There might have been an adjacent puddle someplace in the 30s, but not here. And this has always been an institution, an educational landscape, if you will. So I'm just looking for the language that keeps that up front as part of the public good. Could be a third item. Housing, space, education. I think we just should keep in a team together on this. And then the last specific thing along that line, on the last page, parameter 7, D, it says to do cooperative work with community partners. Again, at the college, community partners to us are CBOs and private community partners. You could add in there community and educational partners, just wherever you can.
The O'Hara Spencer Park, she took the words out of my mouth. If you're going to refer to Schlage or any other development, and I say it in this segment because this is where you brought it up, Schlage Lock borders Daly City and was in the light industrial zone site. It's further bordered very clearly by Bayshore and Tunnel, which separates the site from existing residential housing units. I have other examples that have been used that I'll say in public comment, but I highly recommend that you put these things in context when you're talking to us about it, because for me this is basically apples and oranges when you compare that site. The other thing that I know that many Westwood Park residents, and I believe, if I'm wrong, tell me, Kate, that I can speak for Westwood Park Association about principle number one, F, respect the privacy and scale of all adjacent uses, especially Westwood Park neighbors to the west. Westwood Park is taken out. We're not adjacent, we abut. So I
that was that, on the 12th, I'm glad you mentioned that. I just wanted to make a comment. On the 12th of March, there was a change to that. So that needs to be reflected here.
It's not reflected.
Right, so it was a
but is it changed?
It was supposed to be, I noted on the public
comment. But we're not adjacent. We're the only neighborhood that abuts this proposed project, and I really think that it should be noted. And it's not that we're singling Westwood Park out. Sunnyside is important, Ingleside, the city as a whole is important, the Bay Area region is important, but taking this out, and we had a meeting with planning, and I thought we were gonna leave it in, but again, we are right.
Here's the project, here's Westwood Park. So we respectfully request that you do put it back in. Thank you.
The change that was done on the 12th of March was that it was going to incorporate all the different names of different communities and any other adjacent. It was on the it's on page 12 of 12 of public comment, March 12th, 2016. I hope that's it too. But incorporating every community here. Yeah.
North Friday, Westwood Park. I agree with a couple people who said before that open space changed from buffer to transition slash maybe just path is not sufficient. Just having a path 6 feet or whatever is not enough public space. But the big one I think is for me is 1B, and I think that should be changed from the at least strive to be at least 2 acres. To change it to read, shall be no less than 2 acres. Like other people have said, the sites that were given as examples were private land. This is public land. The survey had overwhelmingly open space, even way more than housing, as a preferred use of that space, and that should be honored. And the Sunnyside and the Minnie and Lovey Ward, they aren't going to be next to 65-foot heights. And that is a difference with this development as well. And I just want to point out that I feel like I have a tug and pull with the city about the RFP, and they keep saying it's a loose thing. But my understanding, and even asking for examples, and they haven't been able to give me many, that the RFP, the basics, the height, the amount of open space, are not usually changed very much. So whatever is codified here will probably not change that much. Yeah, some of the little details, but not the basic structure that is going to be built. And I hope it's all right with you, Jeremy. You have a lot of information on that email you sent me. Mm-hmm. Do you mind if I pass that around? It's got some stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, thanks.
Thanks, Laura.
And you should make sure the city staff has that for us, that goes into public
Fencing in front of Westwood Park. I just wanted to concur and agree with what Madeline, Alvin, Anita, Laura have said. I'm full agreement with the comments made in public here. And again, I would like to also reiterate on principle one, item F, the strike through on especially Westwood Park neighbors to the west. I know I personally stood up here and took issue with that at one of the meetings, and I would also like to see, make sure, 100% sure, that language is restored to include, especially Westwood Park, because we are next door to it. We're not around the corner or down the block. We're literally next door to it. So our neighborhood, all neighborhoods will be impacted, but Westwood Park is probably one of the most impacted because we are literally next door. That's can't get any closer. Okay. Thank you.
Hello, thank you. This is Jonathan from the Ingleside. I just want to make a quick comment to Laura Rye's statement that open space was the number one request from the Westwood Park Homeowners Association survey. I would encourage you to note that that's a survey of homeowners, so it's somewhat natural that they would view housing as additional housing is less important than open space. If you survey, you know, their children or other neighbors, I'm sure that housing would be much more important, and it is critically important in our city.
And just to clarify, what I quoted was from the Belleville, the results of the Belleville Reservoir study that the city did.
Which study?
It was a city survey. It was not Westwood Park.
Okay, thank you for the clarification.
Hi, Kelly, Joe, Westwood Park. I just want to reinforce several points that our residents have raised tonight. And I think the first thing that comes up to my mind tonight is there has been some dialogue here, or comments, and then there was some meeting that I think it was you, Jeremy, wasn't it? I'm not correct. Was it with Jeremy about some of the language about naming the specific neighborhoods that were being impacted? Right?
That was in the public meeting on the 12th of March, and it is
right.
Reflected in the public comment.
Right.
It's on page 12 of 12, I can tell you. Sorry, last time.
Okay. But those are the details, the devil's in the detail. And I think the comments about City College and our neighborhood, Westwood Park, and whether it's Sunnyside or Ingleside, that, you know, what Anita Theoharis pointed out about comparing this to Schley is really inappropriate. And we started, I was here at one of the first meetings when you were showing some beautiful slides about, you know, this is what we're thinking, the high rises or the type of context, and nothing to do with our neighborhood. It's a really broad context of what's being built, perhaps in SOMA. So I think, just to summarize, that some of the comments that are heard tonight needs to be paid attention to. I mean, you sit here politely and listen to everybody, and then we read the minutes, and things are not reflected in the final parameters. And I think the CAC is going to be voting very soon in terms of your position, and I think that it's really critical that you listen to all of us, because it, you know, we spent almost a year, over a year now, and a lot of time's been spent both on yours, you know, staff and the community, and it's we're almost at the end game here in terms of the first phase of the RFP, and I just feel like we need to make it right.
Hi, I just wanted to add that in addition to the voices who are able to come to these meetings over and over and over again, oh my God, also listen to the voices who are not able to be here. I'm Laura Clark. I run GrowSF from San Francisco, and I live in Noe Valley. And I'm a member of the San Francisco community, and I am a big advocate for housing in the area. And I think that it is a dire need, and all the people who cannot get out here month after month after month after grueling month are still vital voices to be heard, who have very distinct interests in this and should be part of the people that you are listening to as well, not just those of us who have all this time on our hands. Thanks so much.
Is there any other public comment? Remember our ground rules, please. Ground rules?
I'm sorry, I don't have that much time on my hands.
But please, the ground rules. It's important. We have to respect each other. It's very important. People have a point of view, and we have a point of view when it comes to public comment. So now for the CAC. We're at this point, I think we're having further discussion on the public realm.
First of all, I think this is a good job here. I do have a comment. I feel like the bad penny that keeps turning up. When you look at Principle 1, it is a good general statement about what we're trying to achieve here. However, I don't see connectivity to public transit as being a highlight that I think should be included here. And it's similar to the public benefit. And I appreciate the comment, okay, we put that all in the transportation. In some measure, it seems like it's such a big issue that it needs to be included almost everywhere. And maybe the developer will get it keeps reading it, that connectivity to public transit in a good walking environment is important in the overall scheme of things. So I feel good about what we have. I would like to have that additional comment put in principle one so that it becomes part of the milieu of everything that we're looking for within the public realm.
Thank you for that, Robert. At first, when you mentioned that, I was looking at these as parsed out into separate categories and that you dealt with transportation, but that might be helpful because that is such a key issue here and it's a sticking point, and I think that we can't say it enough, and I'm not a planner, so I don't know whether, you know, public realm only means certain things or whatever, but if we did put transportation, coordinating transportation, including our parking too, in everything, that maybe that would help guide the developer. So I don't know, I'm just saying that as a suggestion that I think that's a good idea.
Any other comments?
Yeah, I agree with Robert completely. I think we could probably, without actually intruding on the transportation parameters, principles, to include that as part of the, you know, walking is a form of transportation. Mm-hmm. I think we want to promote it as a form of transportation as well. I think a lot of people in this neighborhood walk. I recently came across the phrase desire lines that planners use to figure out where paths and roads should go. And they'll look at a path that goes to a park and some of the people lead through a park to like a shortcut across a corner. And they realize that's where people want to go. And I'm on Robert and several of us are on the committee for Unity Plaza. And one of the things that we're working with on the plaza, which is starting to take shape around the corner, looking really nice, by the way, is that there's going to be a path of people going through that path, of people going through that park all the time. And they're going to be, it's one of the desire lines that already exists. You can see that people are walking through the Muni turnaround, and nobody wants to walk through that. They want to, and you can see there's new steps going down, and it's going to be going through this beautiful plaza. There's going to be people lingering in the plaza, but there's also going to be people moving through. And it's kind of hard to predict what the desire lines are going to be in the reservoir because it's all fenced off right now. You can see where the dog walkers walk along the berm, and I think we can probably look at a lot of the desire lines that exist and probably predict where some of them will be once we open it up a little bit to try and figure out how to make the walking paths work and in a way that it will connect with the neighborhoods and with transit. In regard to the park, I kind of understand why staff brought up Schlage Lock, just because it's the same size. But the park will be really different, I think, in this site, mainly because it's going to be transitional between the two neighborhoods. It's not going to. We don't want to have 60-foot buildings right next to the backyards of people in Westwood Park. I don't think anybody wants that on either side of the neighborhood. I think most people want to have some kind of transition. And Westwood Park was originally designed as a residential park back in the 20s, and from the City Beautiful movement, and I think we need to respect that as part of the, you know, neighborhood character does mean something. And if we're going to have some open space, that would be the place to put it, in the middle between the two of us, so that we can have some kind of transition for both sides of the for both neighborhoods. And it would be an amenity that would be useful to both neighborhoods. I think that we need to have some kind of entryway from Westwood Park, pedestrian, maybe bicycles too, but probably just pedestrian, to have access to this beautiful park that I think we're going to have. It's going to be different from Schlage because those are just little puddles of a park. This is 4 acres. And I think it could be really a good part of the neighborhood. It will contribute to the whole idea of a residential park. And it will. And you won't be seeing 60-foot buildings even on the edge of the park. I mean, 60-foot buildings, you may have one or two of those. They're going to be over by Fail. It's going to the public realm, some elsewhere in the parameters, we talked about how it's going to transition slowly to the one-story buildings that we see in the residential park. So I think it's a pretty good document, and I agree also with Robert's ideas of including transportation as part of maybe the aim of the walking paths. So I'd like to see something about it. Something, at least lip service to that.
So.
I have a question.
Oh, go ahead.
Thanks, Kate.
I kind of agree with Robert and also disagree at the same time. I mean, I see elements of the transportation part in the proposed public realm. For example, at Principle 1D, they talk about walking routes. The overview of Principle 1 talks about a network of streets and open spaces. But I guess the real question, maybe this is for Mike, is in our RFP, we're going to have all these different principles and parameters. How do we emphasize that the transportation component, talking about prioritizing, is a big priority? And how do we communicate that to the developers? That could be part of the RFP, that transportation. I mean, I don't think we should name transportation every single principle and every single parameter because there's a place for transportation. But how do we let the future developer know that transportation is key to this development?
Suggest is that we try to sprinkle connectivity and transportation into different places rather than trying to elevate one over the other. Because I think what we heard from the community tonight was that open space, you know, if you ask certain members of the community, that comes even before transportation. And so rather than getting a prioritization exercise, I would like the developer to take the first step based on the parameter documents you've seen. And then get into that design conversation where they can't react to things that in their design that aren't getting to the connectivity we're looking for or the kinds of open space that sort of flows. So I guess I would shy away from prioritization at this stage because I think we want to get those good ideas out and then refine them through further community process.
However, in parameter 1D, couldn't you add pedestrian networks shall connect to surrounding networks of street paths and open spaces and transportation centers?
Yeah.
Like City College bus stop?
I think I agree, Kate. I think we could do that there. We can also add, and we did a similar exercise in the other section in the principle itself. The first thing you read, it says the second to last line should connect gathering places, destination, and residents on the site, and transit or transit facilities along Ocean Avenue or in the neighborhood.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
We have similar language in the transportation section. We can mimic that here. That would go a long way. Certainly with 1D as well.
Gathering places, destinations, and even commerce. Some kind of the destination could be because you want to connect to Ocean Avenue retail district.
You're in 1D?
The general principle and 1D.
Oh.
So both of them, where you could add something about transit as well as the commercial district,
sure.
And then if that supports this whole concept of being it being seamless. It's interesting when we're talking about public benefits because it's for some people the reservoir is 17 acres of open space, and although to some perspectives the open space does not look very good, however, it's a place where people walk their dogs, they got exercise, my son conducted science experience on velocity and wind measurements and that sort of thing. So it was something that, although it may not have been evident to a lot of people, it really is something that people looked at is that they had 17 acres of open space. And so 17 acres was actually going to be reduced significantly. You even have a proposal, I think, from somebody from the public and propose a 17-acre park with parking underneath for City College. So for our neighborhood, I know that this has got to be a requirement of 2 acres. It is a different kind of the intensity of the density of this area is increasing leaps and bounds. Not only that, if you have for children, for adults, for seniors, there's got to be a place to recreate. It's just an absolute essential. Our neighborhood is adamant about the 2 acres. We need to say that, and as I say, many people feel that they had 17 acres and now 2 acres is an extreme compromise. But shall we go for the consensus?
See, we started that in. Should we start? Oh,
Bridget,
it's yours.
If I could just clarify for the minutes and the CAC that we'll add.
Oh, do we need a?
No, but I just wanted to clarify that we'll add the list of all neighborhoods, as well as the transit connections we just mentioned.
Right, and somehow tying into the Ocean Avenue Commercial District.
Yeah.
Right, or the Ocean Avenue Retail Corridor, I should say. The entry level to Ocean Avenue says the Ocean Avenue Retail District, and so it should be consistent with our sign.
Okay, and then also one to Madeline's comment 70, we will amend to include community and educational partners.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, I would just say in general, and this is something that I say a lot, more inclusion of the uses of City College right now. So one use that we know right now is that we have a parking lot there that a lot of students use on a regular basis. So that's one of the uses that we've already been talking about. That's why I agreed with Robert right away when he proposed the transportation idea to be included in the public realm area. Like, we just can't mention that enough because we need to do more to make sure that City College enrollment is not affected in any way. So I would also, now I'm looking at where I saw this, but I also wanted to include more references to City College's needs for the public realm to be a safe, useful, and welcoming part of the daily experience. So whether that is providing more transportation, more parking, whatever it ends up being at City College should be acknowledged here. And I have the same thing also for, I think it was Principle 4, which doesn't mention it at all.
Bridget, was that last comment with respect to a certain?
That was probably number 2.
Okay.
Oh, no, I'm sorry, number 3. Anyway, in general, though, what I was noticing, just I would like to see more reference to City College and that incorporation of the public realm with what City College is going to be doing.
Oh,
number 4.
4. Given the modification to the parking lot management.
Same there with the amendments of 4.
4.
The neighborhood is looking, if there's not a requirement for a 2-acre park, that will be doing 0.
4.
Say 4 as well, and I put a 5 if we had a minimum of 2 acres.
Okay, we're at item number 7, general public comment. Do we have, I believe it was to, I don't know. you have something you want to comment that is within the jurisdiction of the CAC but not on the agenda, you're welcome to come forward.
This is Jennifer from Sunnyside. I just wanted to reiterate something I said a while back. We did two surveys in our neighborhood, and on both of them, transportation was the number one issue for Sunnyside. Parking was the number two issue. Thank you.
Hi, Edith Theo Harris again, Westwood Park Association. Aside from Slage, if previous meetings, and sometimes it was staff, sometimes the public, but I want to clarify, you use Slage, also Mission Rock. Mission Rock previously was an industrial use, no existing housing units or historic neighborhoods. Additionally, one of our board members has been to multiple real estate presentations where the developers stressed they had an opportunity to increase height and density only because there was no long-term residential neighborhoods in the area. And they did extensive work with local recent community members to ensure their development met the community wants and needs. I told you about Schlage. Here it is. Pier 70 Dog Patch has been brought up. Again, an industrial site that was in an area that had no existing residential homeowner units prior to the recent push to build residential in outlying San Francisco areas. Park Rosette has been brought up. Park Rosette always had higher height zoning than our area, and the comparisons that were made are just not relevant. Planning and the mayor's office made a presentation to the Small Business Administration on June 27th on TVM. And I was quite surprised, I'm starting to really understand, and they were explaining about points. Like, no parking, you're gonna get, I forgot, let's say 4 points. Or if you have parking, you're gonna get less points. So I'm kind of wondering what I'm doing here, because if the RFP goes out with all of these criteria and you're gonna be graded on, for instance, no parking, you get a lot more points than another proposed developer. So that kind of concerns me. And I would encourage everyone to watch that or listen to that hearing, because the small business commissioners were quite concerned about a lot of the points that were made about TDM and how it just, how can I be polite here? They didn't think it was realistic, the numbers that were being put out, and the small business owners were very concerned. So I think that's it. And thank you, Ms. Fabetti, for bringing up the Westwood Park language.
That's it.
Okay.
Mueller, to conclude, I've been cleaning through boxes of stuff, and Jerry and I have been promising you this stuff, and I found it yesterday,
nice.
So I don't have copies, but I'll get you. We've been doing, for the Performing Arts Center, our joint venture of architects included a group, L&M from Seattle, who won this year's Best Architects of the Nation, very prestigeful. And as I go through all my paperwork from working with them, I realized that I had a very large booklet, which included a whole bunch of traffic studies and flow patterns and stuff we're all talking about. Now, this is 2006, and there was an update I found in 2012 that gave proportions of the students, those who park, those who do transit, so forth and so forth. Really lovely data done by, as I said, her best architectural firm in the nation. So I think we should, that's why I want to be partnering. As we find this stuff, we should take advantage. And it gives some historical perspective. And I'll leave you with one little piece of data, which I found amazing. I've forgotten this stuff. It has all the minutes of all the meetings we ever had and so forth. This was about the Performing Arts Center, because we were talking about all the same stuff. Statistically, our students take public transportation at, we'll say, approximately at a 60% level. This is way beyond any of the other 112 community colleges. They come in and park at about a 30% level, and then 10% walk and bike. This is a general thing, because we did annual kinds of studies. But it is way, you know, our students are really transit focused. They have been for a long time, and up until even 2012. And they did a study where they marked people coming into park. into Park, and how many, and because the flow pattern, not just that there are cars there at any photograph of the day, the flow pattern for the 2,000 parking slots was 10,000 a day. And that's only 30% of our students.
Good evening, I'm Jonathan Rappel from Ingleside. I mainly have some comments about last month's meeting, and I hope I won't bore you too much about them. So I read through the comments from the that were emailed in. There were about a dozen comments that were emailed from apparently a forum email from Westwood Park, and some people edited them, but primarily they were largely identical. And I thought it was a little bit weird because it had basically a couple of main points. One, respect the Westwood Park residential character district. Westwood Park is the only district in San Francisco where the design guidelines are put into the, are incorporated into the planning code basically. You can't build a house there unless it meets their design guidelines. However, this development, or this park, I mean this development is not part of Westwood Park, so it doesn't really apply here. It also said respect the 500 unit limit from the EIR, but as the planning employees have noted, we will have another EIR to determine whatever the developer, whatever actual unit count we'll have here. So it's kind of strange to say restrict ourselves to a previous EIR when we will have a new EIR to determine the environmental impacts. And also said, that we should have the 28-foot height limit and the 1-to-1 parking to unit ratio, which, again, is not really it would be appropriate if it were in Westwood Park, but this is not Westwood Park. It's adjacent to Westwood Park. It's across the street from the Ingleside and past the library. It's adjacent, or it's south of the Sunnyside. It's a different neighborhood, and we need to, and San Francisco is full of diverse neighborhoods that are next to each other, right? The Ingleside is across the street from Westwood Park, but the Ingleside has a very different demographic. It used to be, predominantly African American, as the newspaper put in this month, the ID Light had an article about that. And the African American community has largely been displaced due to the housing crisis, due to other factors, which is which is part of why we need to work to solve the housing crisis, and that is critically important in the city. This is a development that meets the goals of the city, not just Westwood Park, because it's not part of Westwood Park. Thank you.
Hi, Laura again, Westwood Park. I just want to stress again that this is public land and not private land. Private developers should logically be given a lot more leeway in what they do. And I forgot to mention on the public realm thing that a person last week mentioned that District 7 had the least amount of open space of all the districts. But I think that was passed. And I tried to look up the current data, and I couldn't find the current data. So I don't know if District 7 still has the least amount of open space. And again, I want to bring up the RFP, and it specifically was the urban design, which I know we've done before, but there's this one little thing that keeps bugging me. I remember initially in the meetings, the 65-foot height was going to just be on the feel inside. Now the way it's written, it technically could be anywhere. And I want that to be put back, that the highest buildings, the 65-foot buildings, is just on the east. And again, reiterate that the RFP, from what I understand, and I haven't gotten any information to make me not believe this, the RFP is the blueprint of the density, height, open space. The little details get changed, but the basic structure of the site is determined by the RFP. And then in terms of Jonathan, I just wanted to mention that the surrounding neighborhoods, Ingleside, they don't have 65-foot buildings. This is a whole new ballgame for this whole neighborhood. So in defending Westwood Park, it's not just Westwood Park. This is a residential area. This isn't like 7th and Mission Bay. I don't know if you've been by there, but there's some amazing buildings down there that are, I was sort of scared, but anyway, there aren't 65-foot buildings anywhere in this neighborhood.
Hi, I just wanted to say Laura Clark, Garza, don't live 2 blocks from here, that's fine. And I wanted to say something that has been brought up a lot is about neighborhoods. And one thing that I think we kind of forget in that is that infill development is one of the greenest things that we can do. It's going to be necessary for this city to move forward. It's going to be necessary for us to migrate away from a car-centric infrastructure, for our cities to take the next step forward. And infill development will always take place next to existing neighborhoods. That is the nature of the beast. And while I understand a lot of the concerns of people who will continue to be next to those projects, the nature of infill, which is the next step in how our city is going to move forward, necessitates building these kinds of projects next to and in existing neighborhoods. Thank you.
Do we have any other person who wishes to address the CAC and general public comment? Okay, hearing none. It seems to be, do we have any CAC members who would like to make any particular comments during the process tonight? I think we've come a long way.
Are you on item 8, close of meeting?
Right,
close of meeting. Okay, yeah. I just want to mention that I also serve on the Balboa Park Station Citizens Advisory Committee, and there's an initiative that is, I think everybody should be aware of, and there will be 2 design charrettes around the Balboa Park Station. One is going to be focused on safety at Geneva and San Jose, and that's going to be staffed primarily by MTA. And as if you go down and try that station, first of all, it's a mess right now because there's already a lot of construction underway. But that it's a dangerous intersection, and you have that little choke point when you're trying to get on to, or trying to weave your way out of the BART station where the overhead lines have holes, where you have to kind of walk around and between a retaining wall and the streetcar itself. That needs to be addressed, and that's going to be part of the charrette. But also the terminus of the M line itself, it just stops right there on San Jose. For a variety of reasons, the prevailing wisdom has been that it should stay there. I'm not quite sure why. However, through a $100,000 NTIP grant that was provided benefits of Supervisor Avalos, staff will be looking at another alternative to the M line ending there. Not that it's gonna happen, but it's good that the public get involved and weigh in on some of these design ideas, because as I understand it, there'll be design professionals that will be helping kind of point out how this could be rather than what it is. The second charrette will be more around the 85 to 100 unit housing that's going to be built on the upper yard. That's going to be all 100% affordable, and as I understand it, 5 parking spaces for that entire development. The plaza area where you come out of BART on the south side, that plaza area, as I understand, is going to be reimagined. Well, here we have a station. Here's an opportunity. You're going to have 85 units of housing, maybe 100. You're going to be reimagining the plaza area. What can we do to create identity at the station rather than a place that everybody hates to go to? What can we begin to do to make it a place that we want to go to? It's part of the urban fabric, it's how we get around, we use our station. Both these charrettes, and let me finish on the second charrette. That second charrette will be co-managed by BART and the Mayor's Office of Housing. So both charrettes are expected to take place in the fall, and there will be more information. And for those of you that like to take a look at the web pages, the Balboa Park Station also has a web page, so you can keep track of this. So not only am I a bad penny that keeps turning up around connectivity here, I do the same thing at that station. I think we've got some traction there with regard to these shreds. So all the energy that you folks come into these meetings, we sure would welcome you to participate in those shreds when they come up in the fall. Thank you.
Thank you for that. I use all those. I use the M. I use BART there at the Balboa station, so I totally understand what you're saying. And one of the issues for me is looking at all of these areas, whatever development we have here in Balboa Reservoir, the Balboa State BART station, and also City College is doing its facilities plan right now. It's just starting that. So we have to coordinate all of these things at the same time. And I mentioned that before, but as you all know, it's not a very easy thing to do because we don't even realize what we're talking about or understand what exactly we're talking about. But I do want to mention that we've already had a first reading of a set of guidelines for the city that City College will be issuing, and we've revised them, reviewed, taken public comment, got comment from the trustees, and now they're resubmitted for the 28th, our Board of Trustees meeting on the 28th. So I welcome all of you to come and add any more comments. These have been commented on already, but we can always use more comments on this. And I do have to say one thing about the parking. I represent City College here, and I truly believe in public transportation. I take it, but I also use my car too, especially around here, because sometimes it's easier to use my car around here. In fact, I took it today. Some days I walk, some days I take the J, some days I take the car, especially when it's cold. So I do recognize that we are gonna need to use cars. And we keep coming back to this critical point here, over and over, no matter what we're talking about. You know, we're talking about architecture. What about parking? And I don't want to waste this opportunity that we have with 17 acres on just focusing on cars. And I know that doesn't make me very popular with some people. But I also recognize that we are going to need parking, especially if we have a performing arts center. So I believe that there can be a sweet spot with this, with a parking garage, and that's what's in our proposal, is a green parking garage. And we want to make sure that we don't lose any more students given what City College has gone through in the last 5 years. And so that's why we're recognizing that the parking issue is a serious one. But on the other hand, this is a unique opportunity to do something in this neighborhood to create affordable housing for faculty who now have to go to Antioch. We put in there too, to create affordable housing for dormitories for students. So that's what we're weighing here, and weighing that with the needs of these lovely communities around here of Sunnyside and Westwood.
Thank you for your statement. I thought that was very well put, because I think today's discussion, you know, I think a lot of us are looking at, yeah, why wouldn't we want to have a bigger park? We all would love to, but I think, you know, with all the other things we're trying to sort of fit into this finite parcel, it, you know, I think I would be comfortable with seeing what are the ideas that are brought back. And see what the exact trade-offs are with that extra 0.5 acreage.
Anybody else have any other comments?
In regards to City College, I know that you want to keep enrollment up here, right? I think a child care center is very viable, and it's very needed for a lot of these students that come here, because a lot of them are working parents, and sometimes there's not enough child care support, so I think that's very important.
Well, when you think about it, we are now going to be embarking on the next step, where we're going to be looking at all the parameters in total. When you think in terms of what we started with back in September or August, I think we've gone a long way, and we have a long ways to go since we're going to be around since 2020 at least.
Mark your calendar.
So, with that, just a reminder, the next meeting is scheduled for the 8th of August, but it may be changed depending on vacation plans, so please make sure you check the website, or please sign up for alerts, and we'll be keeping you posted. And with that, do we want to adjourn?
Motion to
adjourn. Okay, do we have a second?
Second.
Is that enthusiastic? All in favor?
You guys didn't say anything important or anything private in the last 2 minutes.
That city staff.
Yeah.
Still recording, by the way.